It's Thursday, the 7th of May, day 47. I read an interesting essay on Medium today by M.G. Siegler, who I think is a venture capitalist, but also seems to be an inveterate blogger. The headline on his piece was "The Brutal Efficiency of Zoom." Talk about clickbait. But because I'm intrigued by the Zoom phenomenon, I took the bait and opened the essay. It wasn't actually an attack on Zoom, but really on what Zoom stands for, which is video conferencing. And the point of Siegler's piece was that our sudden reliance on tools like Zoom, because of the pandemic, means that the corporate or organizational office has finally broken through the last barrier and has made its way into our homes. And the longer-term consequences of that incursion might not be all that welcome. To be fair, the bastion of the home, whether it's an apartment, a suburban house, or a gated mansion, has actually been under attack since the invention of the BlackBerry, the first mobile phone that could do email properly and had tiny QWERTY keyboards. BlackBerrys could also do a form of secure texting. And just as mobile phones were originally a status symbol when they first arrived, owning and using a BlackBerry was in its day also a status symbol. It signalled that you worked for an organisation that was prosperous enough to run the BlackBerry system, and that you were important enough to be always contactable by email. But of course, status symbols have a habit of morphing into shackles, and so it was with the BlackBerry. Organisation men and women found that they were suddenly expected to read and answer their email at any hour of the day or night. The fact that they're at home in the evening or weekend became irrelevant. The point was that they were expected to be available. But if the BlackBerry and later the iPhone and subsequent smartphones that came after it drilled holes in the psychic walls that protected the home from the office, Zoom and co. have arrived like a US armored division and blown those walls completely away. The office of the future has arrived in our homes. This has its upsides, of course, in terms of less commuting, say. But under the pressure of the pandemic, we are beginning to see some of the downsides. That was really the point of Siegler's little essay. "Each and every day I now wake up," he writes, "and head to the office, which is to say my desk, 25 feet away. Most days I typically won't leave that desk for several hours, if at all. There I am, glued to Zoom." He's finding that, as he writes, morning meetings bleed into afternoon meetings, bleed into late afternoon meetings. But unlike in an actual old-style office, where one has to move physically between different meeting rooms, and maybe even have a meeting over lunch, he's just sitting there at his desk. One Zoom meeting ends, the next begins. Why not have it start right away? "It's so amazingly efficient," he writes, "that I want to punch it in the face." What he's finding is that he's zoomed out. I'm seeing lots of people who are finding themselves in that state now. Sometimes I find myself in that state after a couple of remote meetings or seminars. That's because although the tech is in some ways remarkable, in other ways it's surprisingly draining. I'm pretty sure that it isn't really all that good for one's health, or at any rate not as good as we initially supposed. Now, that's not to say that our pre-COVID organisational lives were all that good for us either. Certainly they weren't good for our work-life balance. But a Zoom-based work life isn't necessarily good for that balance either. We really have to get this technology and the behaviour that it forces on us under control. Otherwise, we'll all wind up as zoomed-out zombies. What it comes down to, of course, is that old adage: be careful what you wish for. You might just get it.